Life is, or can be, an incredible journey, isn't it? Of course, it's somewhat more authentic, I think, to have the luxury of 50 years to look back on and make such a statement. Had you asked me about that journey just past my high school days, I'm sure my answer would have been a bit different. Though, it's quite possible I wouldn't have flinched in answering questions about what I was about or where I saw myself headed. I mean, we all have plans, right? One of my lifelong friends graduated from high school a year ahead of me. I can remember clearly that on a page about career aspirations for the seniors, his answer was, "I see myself as a sports writer for a major newspaper and living in a house of my own design." I chuckle at that because while he did go on to have many life successes, he became a high school teacher and coach, he never came anywhere close to sniffing what he was quoted in the yearbook. To this day, he's never lived in a house he owned, let alone designed. And there is nothing wrong with that. I am merely pointing out that plans can and do change, often drastically. If you had asked me coming out of high school what made me tick and what my future held, my answers surely would have involved farm pond fishing, deer hunting with a bow, trapping, and working as a biologist for the Kansas Fish and Game Department. Yeah, I missed on a few of my goals, too. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The reason I bring this up today is that I am sitting here in the studio with Kimiel Kenrud of Togiak, who has just passed high school and has his future laid out before him, everything still largely potential and not yet resume ready. Kimiel has worked on and off in a seasonal capacity for Togiak Refuge for a while now, and we'll get to the how and why of that in a moment, as well as other topics. I first met Kimiel in 2008 at what should have been the Cape Pierce Marine Science and Yupik Culture Camp. Well, except that it wasn't. Not only did we not make it to Cape Pierce, well, we went to Togiak Lake instead, but that remains some of the most ghastly weather I have ever went camping in, and to think that we had 8 junior high kids with us in doing so. Anyway, so the weather was just absolutely awful from start to finish. Kids couldn't stand on the bank and cast their fishing line. So, Kimiel, good morning. What do you remember about that camp?
I remember a lot of people getting hooked in their eyebrows and their fingers with fishing line from that camp. I quite vaguely remember the rain and the wind and having to stay in our tents for the majority of the time, but it was an experience like no other.
I'm glad that you have fond memories of that camp. I remember the destruction of the weather. We had a bathroom tent that we set up that we were using for the first time that was called the Stinky Pete, which I still think is just a really funny product name, but it lasted all of one day before giving in to the wind. Again, I'm glad that you have fond memories. That was the first time I met you, and then we've crossed paths a few times over the years since. As I mentioned before, Kimiel has worked for Togiak Refuge for a number of years on and off in various capacities. His grandfather, Pete Abraham of Togiak, has worked for the refuge as a refuge information technician for a very long time. So, what are your earliest memories of Togiak Refuge and your grandfather and you getting involved?
My earliest memories are going on the river with Pete Abraham when I was around 6 years old. It was at that time he started the Ranger for a Day program, where he brings youth and children on the river to work with the Leave No Trace program and clean up the area, and he would bring us out on short hikes and tell stories about the land and the people who lived there, the medicines, all the uses of the land around there.
That's one of the things I will always remember the most about Pete, is that he is such a phenomenal storyteller in connecting the land, oftentimes in a humorous way, and he is so good at holding an audience, even frequently when I've worked with him, teenage audiences. More recently, you have acquired some notoriety for your participation in a program called the Arctic Youth Ambassadors. Could you tell us a little bit about that? How did you get started? What's it like? What are some of the things you're doing?
So how I got started with it was going to a RIT workshop in Kenai in Saldatna. One of our coworkers, Crystal Leonetti, introduced the program randomly, and my grandfather, John Mark, suggested that he should nominate me. And so he nominated me, and about 2 months later, I got a call from one of the advisors to the Arctic Youth Ambassador Program, saying I've been nominated and selected. One of the things I've done as an Arctic Youth Ambassador is portray the message of Togiak and the surrounding areas to people in cabinet-level positions, such as Secretary Jewell, Chief Science Advisor to the President of America. And this coming January, I believe I'm going out to Norway to the Arctic Council meetings. So my main goal is to give my perspective of Alaska and my community and share it to the world.
So not just here in Alaska, but Washington, D.C., and now possibly Norway, this has really opened up some doors.
It definitely has. It's given me more opportunities and chances to do things that I never would have had a chance to do. In a world as small as Togiak, with around 900 people, there's not much things that can give you a voice, and the Arctic Youth Ambassador Program does just that.
You mentioned having a voice in Togiak, so tell us about growing up in Togiak.
Growing up in Togiak was, it was different. It wasn't quite like growing up in a small city where you have roads and all these things. We do have roads, but they're short gravel roads. You don't have concrete over there, and I didn't know what a cell phone was until I was 13. So I got the best of the wildlife there, and I grew up out in the wildlife, running around with my grandfather, and got to do many, many things as a young puppy out there. Out in Togiak, the wilderness was everywhere around you. You could go anywhere you wanted, and you're in the wilderness.
Thinking about kids in places like Togiak, and I guess I'm going back to my own experiences of a different village that I lived in, but there's a term that's kind of been going around the last decade or so called nature deficit disorder, and the idea is that kids aren't getting outside as much as they used to, they're not getting outside as often as they need to, and at least in my experience, this is something that's not unique to urban settings. It's something we can also find in small towns and even Alaskan villages. Do you see any of that in Togiak?
Definitely. Kids are now growing up with technology rather than out in the wilderness and getting muddy and playing out in the rain. Like I said, I didn't know what a cell phone was until I was 13, and that was mainly because we didn't have any cell service or that type of technology up until just a few years ago, actually. So definitely I'd like to see more kids out in the wilderness a lot more often, which is what I would hope to be doing next year as well with the Ranger for a Day program.
I have heard a couple of different things. I've heard that there's a chance that maybe you'll be coming to work for us on a more permanent basis, possibly. I have also heard through office conversations that there are some other possibilities on the horizon that you might be considering. Do you have any plans for, say, the next 5 to 10 years moving forward? Does it include the service? Does it include something else to do with natural resources?
So within the next 5 to 10 years, I definitely see myself working for the service. I feel that I have a mission, and that is to help children and youth get into the outdoors more often, and definitely pushing the Arctic Youth Ambassador Program if it is to be continued after 2017.
Taking this in a different direction, let's go ahead and finish up with what would probably be considered like a fluff question. What is the one favorite thing you like to do outdoors above and beyond all else?
That is a very tough question, but if I would have to choose one thing, it would have to be bird hunting. I favor bird hunting over many, many things, so I'd have to go with bird hunting.
Do you have a favorite bird, or is it just whatever's in season?
Whatever's in season.
Thank you for joining me in the studio today, Kimuel. I'd like to finish today with a reminder that tomorrow is the Christmas bird count. I'd like to encourage folks that if you have some time tomorrow to consider joining with Togiak Refuge in compiling this year's count. It does not require a huge commitment of time, but you do need to contact Refuge biologist Kara Hilwig, as there are some parameters to participating. Kara will get you set up. Also, at the end of tomorrow, there will be a potluck at 6 p.m. at the Refuge office to compile data, swap stories, and share in food. Food is always good. Kara's good people, and birds can be a lot of fun, so there's really no downside here. If you have questions, call Kara at 842-8409. Thanks again to Kimuel. If I was a betting man, I'd bet you'll be seeing him around and hearing more about him. Have a great weekend, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.